Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's one way, and we are excited for another day of grace and another day in which God has tarried long enough for us to be here together. And we're excited that you have joined us live, and we also excited the ones that's viewing us on our webpage and our Dispensational Bible Church page. And we'd like to encourage you to come and visit us. We start around 9:30 with some fellowship and talking, and sometimes we have cookies and all that good stuff. And we just want you to come and be yourself. So we tell you to take your shoes off, bring your Bible, and just enjoy yourself as we go through the Word of God. And also, we'll be singing a song in the Red Book. If you got your Red Book, we're going to be singing 222. There is a fountain, a cleansing fountain. Bible since 2005, and many of you should be graduated long before I have ever been graduated. I'm just joking. But anyway, we are teaching some things, and we're in Genesis chapter 1, and as we go through the study, our primary thing about the book of Genesis, we're going to be focusing on the first 12 chapters mainly. And And that's over 2,000 years of history in your Bible. And then after from 12 to chapter 50, it's like 350, 400 years of history with primary through the Israel people. And that seems like eternity when you go through those books. But we are in studying the book of Genesis. And we talked about the God called the land, the dry land what? Earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. Now, out of the darkness, and we've been studying some things about the gap fact. Now, a lot of people call it the gap theory. I call it a gap fact. I think it is a fact, and that's what we've been comparing some things over the last couple lessons, that there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And because in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and then he said the earth was formed without form and void. So something had happened. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. I want you to believe the word of God. Amen? That's what you should do. And out of the darkness, out of that darkness, out of confusion comes light and blessings. Now you think for a minute, in your Bible and in your spiritual life, when you talk about darkness and confusion, out of it coming life and a light and a blessing, that is a light. Remember how you was in darkness before you were saved? You may not realize that, but you was dead in your trespasses and sins. You had no life. You was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. That type of thing. You was just, God gave us up. God gave us over. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe that, how we were, but we were. Now, many of us have been raised up in a way that is saying, we know right from wrong. You know, if you had kids, you know, this is what you do. This is right. This is wrong. And you teach them right from wrong. But when you realize that you know that Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you understand that and you get saved, you can really understand what is right from wrong. You can even understand what's from evil and good. So out of that language of redemption and restoration, not the language of the original creation. This is what we're talking about. And in the Bible, God's working in origins did not start in darkness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He didn't create in darkness. Darkness is not good here. And darkness to light, confusion to blessing, is the language of redemption, the language of restoration. You've been restored. You've been redeemed. Okay, in your spiritual life, you was in darkness. So apply a little bit of spiritual understanding to this, but when there is not things that are clear, concise, or conclusion, what do you look at to help you out?
Another verse.
You find another verse. You study out typologies in Genesis chapter 1, and you will see some exact parallel with salvation. Look what Paul says. Hold your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, once again, when we study in the book of Genesis, you're going to find some things out that's going to help you out in the dispensation of grace, what God is doing. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid. Now, what gospel is that, guys? The gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace that's commanded. Our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Mm-hmm. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who?
Jesus
Christ. You see that God, okay, commanded light to shine out of what?
The darkness.
Didn't you just read that over here?
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis? So that darkness is not good. And Paul, when he looked back to Genesis chapter 1, he said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He commanded the light to shine unto us. You see creation there, a type of salvation. Because if you did not hear that glorious gospel and that dark heart of yours and that dark soul of yours, you would never be saved right now. That's why it's very, very important. I think about the plagues. I bring this up all the time, the 10 plagues in Egypt with Israel. When that little light, who had the light? And that whole world was gross darkness. We talked about this before. Gross dark, so gross that it was so thick they couldn't move. But there was one little light.
Mm-hmm.
And where was it at?
Goshen.
In Israel, down in Goshen. And that little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You can sing that all the time. Hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. That light is what we should be shining, that we heard a glorious gospel and brought us out of that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Return into Psalms chapter 104. Chapter 1 is a typical presentation of salvation and restoration of and the original creation is made. It is, remember what we talked about? When Adam was created, he was created perfectly. You agree or disagree?
I agree.
Okay. Then what happened when they sinned? When Eve was deceived and Adam made a choice, what happened to that perfectness, that completeness?
It was marred.
It was marred. Okay, it became tainted. Okay, and we became products of Adam. That's why we are tainted. That's why we are marred. And it was marred with sin, the original creation. Darkness overtakes it, and then God restores it. The process of restoration and reconciliation and redemption coming out of that darkness, so it all fits there, is why people feels and committed to the gap back. There was something bad that happened there. And we're going to continue here. Psalms chapter 104. Psalms chapter 104. And you're still in Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Psalms chapter 104. Verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as the garment, the water should above the mountains. At thou rebuke, thou fled. At the voice of thy thunder, thou hast hasted away. Verse 8, thou go up by the mountains, they go down by the valley unto the place where thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set the bounds that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. There is a description of the flood that covers the earth. But it will not match the flood in Noah's days. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Because of verse 7, it says, at thou rebuke they fled. That's what the psalm said, right? You read that. Verse 7, at thou rebuke they fled, talking about the waters. Now in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 and 4, 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made the wind to pass over the earth, and the waters was assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from the forest was restrained, and the waters returned off from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, God did not rebuke the waters, and the waters did not flee away in Noah's days. You see that, don't you?
Yeah.
This passage was better fit in Genesis chapter 1. And that does not go with Genesis chapter 8, Noah's day. In fact, you have the whole 7 days of creation in Psalms chapter 104. You're in Genesis chapter 1 in context here. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We just went through 4 things about the reason why you consider the gap theory. This is number 5. The fall of Satan. Obviously, when did that happen? Before when?
Before the king boarded it up.
Well, definitely before Genesis chapter 3. Because he is there tempting Eve, Adam and Eve. And it seems also to be true, obviously, because prior to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, creation and commission of man. When God created man and commissioned them, Satan's already there. According to, we know what Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and 14, the 5 I wills we have mentioned before. Lucifer invaded heaven from earth. It wasn't the other way around, if you read it. And his first station was on the earth. Then he invades the heaven from there, according to what we read the 5 I wills. I will ascend into heaven. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know it. And that is important to remember, especially if you notice Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. It says, God does not call darkness what? Good. And he calls light good, but he does not call darkness good. That's an indication is where he did not create darkness. If you know what darkness is, what we're talking about, it's not good. What he calls good is what he made. You really think about that. And Genesis chapter 1 verse 8 says, God called the firmament of heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. And that is the other thing he does not call good. He does not call heaven up there good, and there's a reason for that. You know what Job says about that. If you're taking notes, Job chapter 15 verse 15 talks about, "Behold, he putteth no trust into his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sights." Job is the oldest book in your Bible, and Job's writing that the heavens are not clean in God's sight. Now, I don't know if you saw the starry heavens this week, and you know, it's down in Florida, that type of thing, and up in here, and you saw the moon, you saw Jupiter, you saw Venus, you saw Neptune all lined up, and the starry heavens was rejoicing. You know, that type, it looked beautiful. I mean, but you know that the heavens right now are corrupted, okay? Those stars are not what God put up there to begin with. They've been confused. They've been overtaken. There's a rebellion up there. There's sin out there. And he does not call heaven good. And when you find out later on, we'll find out why. He is doing that prior to the creation of man. And the indication that's prior to the second day, and there's a problem out there already. Some say, what about Genesis 1, chapter, verse 30, chapter 1, verse 31? When it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day. That is right, right? But you notice Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, and God said, in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet. Did God create Adam alone? Yes or no?
Originally.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Did he say it was good? Yes. Yes, he did. Then later he said, it is not good. So in other words, he says, all that he has made is good in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It is obviously not an absolute statement then, right? Mm-hmm. We're teaching things here. He is not saying that it's perfect and good in every single positive, no occlusion sense. What he made, what he had remade was good, I should say. He does not call it good. Adam's condition of being alone was not good. We know that. So what did God do? God remedies that, don't he? So it's not an absolute statement. It's a general statement in reference to what he had made. He did not create darkness. The darkness was a result of Satan's fall. Hey, if he can keep you blinded, if he can keep you in darkness, even if you're saved, you can get your mind and get your body and get your soul and get back in darkness. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do, guys. This sin nature was going to be upon us till the day we take that dirt back. Period. You're fighting things in your flesh every single day when you wake up. And I think about the, you know, it's almost like I get up automatically between 3 and 4 o'clock. Boom. And then my feet hit the floor. And I'm putting my clothes on. I'm brushing my teeth and combing my hair. And I don't put makeup on, but anyway, I probably should. But anyway, the thing, and then I get in that truck. That is a routine that I set my mind that I'm going to do the night before I go to bed. You know? Any of you do the same thing. It's just like, boom. And then you ask, well, are you ever going to do anything else? But if you like what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. But the thing, what I'm saying is, I know what I need to set my mind up before. And a lot of people don't have that mentality. What am I going to do in the morning? I'm just going to lay in bed. I'm just keep my pajamas on. You know, that type of thing. I can't do that. You know, it seems like, when you go on vacation, you still get up in the quietness and you make your coffee and you're sitting there, you're eating and that type of thing. And everybody else is, that type of thing. You're like, get up. You can do more before 9 o'clock in the morning before you can do anything, you know, that type of thing. Get up and do something. But anyway, we was out the other night. We was in bed at 7:30 last Saturday night. we were exhausted. We got up at 4 o'clock. But anyway, one other thing about the existence of Satan prior to creation of man. Hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I don't know if many of you thought about this. We quote it all the time. We talk about it. Matthew chapter 25. One other thing about the existence of Satan prior to the creation of man. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed from everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his what?
Angels.
It says that hell was created for Satan and his what?
Angels.
As though man was not present there. when it was created. And you know it was created as a result of fall of the angels. You know, we talk about it all the time. That's what helped stop that rebellion. He created hell, and many of them rebelled against God from the beginning, as bound in darkness and in chains. They must have been some evil dudes to be tied up down there still today. So that's one verse you think about that for just on your own time. But, you know, this is before the fall of man. But what has happened since then? Paradise has been moved. Hell has been enlarged for people that refuses to hear a clear gospel and be saved today. Number six, this is a very important one. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And Genesis 9 verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What does he say in Genesis chapter 9 1? And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You understand when he tells Noah to go out and replenish the earth, somebody says that they ought to say to fill the earth. You're shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but what do you mean by fill? Do you mean to fill it up for the first time, or supply the first time people on the earth? What is that?
That's a refill.
Okay, fill it. That could not mean it in Noah's case. Because what was here before Noah?
People.
And are you filling it up for the first time or again? And it cannot mean the first time in Noah's case, so it is replenish it. And in some issues, it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, they are replenishing the earth, filling it up, but not for the first time. They're doing exactly what Noah did.
Something there before.
You can check verses out if you want to turn to them. I'll take time to them, but we're going to look at some verses. Isaiah chapter 2. And I can read this to you if you don't want to turn there. That's okay. If you take a note, we're going to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6, Isaiah 23, and Jeremiah 31.
In Genesis 28, how would they replenish the earth if it never had people on it?
Well, that's what we're talking about here. That's why some people say to fill it. Okay? It's not the same Genesis, what he told Noah, versus what he told Adam. Or is it? Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because thou be replenished from the east, and are soothsakers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Isaiah 23, verse 21. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isles, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that passed over to the sea have replenished. And then Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 25. For they have saturated the weary soul and have replenished every sorrowful soul. And there's dozens and dozens of more like that where the word replenished is used. So if those verses make sense, if you translate it to feel, it is a sense of supply something for the first time, which is what it would have meant in Genesis chapter 1. In order to negate replenish. The word is replenish, okay? And it means replenish. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Adam and Eve are replenishing as Noah did. Now, six things to consider when you violate this gap fact. One that we're going to go over. The word "and" in verses 2 is additional events. Something, "and this," "and that." In verse 2 and following. There's only two verses we looked at through chapter 1 down to chapter 2 that every verse started with "and." The expression, number 2, expression without form and void is a clear reference to the result of divine judgment. Something happened. Number 3.
Hey, can you slow down just a smidge? Can you repeat number 2?
The expression without form and void is a clear reference to the result of divine judgment. Number 3, the earth, the deep, the water, the darkness already existed on the first day. Did God say it was good? He didn't call that good, did he? Number 4, the order of events in Genesis chapter 1, 2 through 4, are a clear typology that links Genesis 1 with salvation process as identified in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
Repeat that one more time. Order of events. Genesis.
The verses 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 are a clear typology that links Genesis chapter 1 with salvation. I'll send this little thing out to you guys in a text later if you want to keep this also. Okay. And number 5, the fall of Satan is obviously before Genesis chapter 3 because he is there attempting Eve and Adam. And it's it is also obviously that it was before Genesis 1 chapter 20. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. This is a lot of information that you need to understand when people talk about things. When you deal with people for the first time and they don't know who Jesus Christ is, they need to understand who God the Creator was and how He created things and why we are the way we are. We talk about people all the time that say, we don't understand how God can send a little baby to hell. God don't send anybody to hell. You choose that. Right now, he's never, ever violate, or probably never will violate your free will. We talk about the five institutions that he created. First one's volition, free will. Second one is marriage between a man and a woman. Third is the family. Fourth is a human government. Human government's supposed to protect those three institutions, but what's happened to your human government today? It's being destroyed. They're taking over. You look up in your government system right now, they got all kinds of crazies up there. Then the family is destroyed. You know, I posted a little mean thing on Facebook in regards to family with kids and how you take care of your help meet first. When it comes to eating, and then the kids eat, but it's been reversed. The kids get their things first, and then the guys go, you know, the men and women over here, and it's a structure, the house. If you have a good structure in your home, you can they can look, those kids will look at their mom and dad and see God in them and say the structure, man, woman, then the kids. It ain't the reverse. And people say, well, today's only one person in a family that much. Well, that ain't God's fault. That's flesh fault. And then you have marriage between man and woman. Then you have that type of thing. Those institutions are being destroyed and has been carrying on for a while.
Wouldn't the babies who died, they didn't have a choice, so wouldn't they go to heaven?
They would. I believe they're protected under the moms and dads. They're sanctified, yes. And then the fifth one or sixth one is there is a correlation between the commission given to Adam to replenish the earth and the commission given to Noah to replenish the earth after the flood. Now, those six arguments are rather telling, aren't they? And they could leave you to believe that there is a gap between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1-2. But something happened, and it produced a judgment, and now there is recreation. That is the gap theory side. Now, let me share this with you right quick. We got started a little late, but just bear with me. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This is the counterpoint of the gap theory. You get kind of both sides here. That's why I say don't believe what I think. You need to believe what God says, okay? And the Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, is the counterpoint to the gap theory. If you do not have a good explanation for the verse, this verse, it's really called a gap theory into question. And it was something that attacks the gap theory, and you need to see this verse. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Now, if you're listening for the first time, God used gap. We talked about this before. God's used gaps in a lot of things in his book. Mm-hmm. We looked about when he was in the synagogue, as his nature was, as his custom was, and they gave him a book, and he opened up to Isaiah. And he read about the good tides that was coming. Okay, he was saying, "Here I am." And then he didn't finish the verse. He closed the book. Well, what continued the verse was the wrath was coming. Mm-hmm. So has that wrath came yet?
No.
So there's a gap there. Peter has a gap when he's speaking. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord," what's that next word?
Made.
Remember that. Heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. All the points, remember those books I was telling you about? This author is a pro gap, this author is not. And that John C. Wickham makes trying to refute the gap theory in his book. That verse is the only one that he uses that has any real value. And in 6 days, it says God what?
Made
heaven and earth. It does not say heavens, plural, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he's just talking about the atmosphere around the earth. There's a difference between God creating something and God making something. And there's a point that the gap theory people we talk about. When you create something, it is brought forth out of nothing. But when you make something, it is what? Form.
Elements are there.
That right there is made.
Yeah, cookies.
Those cookies are made this morning. She did not create them out of nothing. She created our substance was already there. So she formed them. That's what we're talking about here. There's a difference between those two things, and you cannot push that difference quite as far as something that the brethren like to push the defense of the viewpoint. You can call painting or music or book or structure into creation, but you cannot call it out of nothing. When we sing songs, it's already there. Now, there, if I'm my understanding, you cannot take a song that somebody else sung and call it your own without being prosecuted,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now you can take it and change up a little bit of this and change up a little bit of that, but it's still not your own. That's why when we talk about the King James Bible, King James Bible has no royalties. But so what they do in these different versions out there, they change it 20% and they can charge you. See, make a profit out of, and that's what these big churches do. They come up to your preacher and they say, "Hey, we'll pay you X amount of dollars if we let you put your book in here." They're like, "Yeah, we need the money. We need to pay for this building," that type of thing. But if you notice, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. He formed them. He fashioned them out of material already existing, like a carpenter made a chair, but he cannot create the wood. And then it's true, the verse, you cannot push that too far. If you take the passage as a reference to everything in the universe, then he made everything in 6 days. And that's not true. It is a reference to, if you reference it to a spiritual war, then perhaps the gap is not true. If you reference it to angels in a spiritual war, then those things, perhaps the gap is not there. See what I'm talking about? You can keep moving and moving. Since Satan and his angels are not directly mentioned in Genesis 1 and 2, you can say that they were probably not in view. You can say anything you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The issue of creation, that there does not have them in view. It just has man. And he created, oriented around him in the view. But we can't forget the passage here. He says heaven and earth. He says heaven singular, and it's not necessarily the second heaven and third heaven. But do not forget verse 4. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave image, and any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. That is a plain reference to demonic kind of things, not just birds. So you have to be real careful with that. Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all the host in them. The heavens is plural in this verse, and in reference to all the hosts in them. That is the reference in Psalms chapter 33 verse 6 when he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them, and by the breath of his mouth he made them. And that's the position of the angelic creation. And you have to be careful, guys. You cannot conclusively say that there's no question about it, and there isn't exactly what happened. So you've got to be careful when you try to take those verses and make something that it's not. And that's what happened, and you cannot say it happened, but that guy, Whipcomb, does. So you can follow people's teaching here, or you can follow people's teaching there. So what do you do?
Believe the verse.
What am I supposed to think? What are you supposed to think? You got this people using this verse, you got that people using that verse. What are you supposed to do, guys?
Compare some verses together with the verse.
He says he commissioned man in chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Really, did not have to do with subduing or taking back the earth from Satan. You can say that. Is it just to go out there and be a part of it? I think you've got to be like 1 Timothy chapter 3. The scenario will soon be at the creation week. He says a man not to be a novice, lest he be lifted up in pride and fall and be condemnation of the devil. Though Satan has not been around for a very long time, and he is a novice and he failed. That's not true. So you have the fall of Satan taking place after creation and before Genesis chapter 3, and you just would not see that in the scriptures. I'm still throwing things at you. I like to get through this one more thing. Just bear with me. Just bear with me. I only get to see you guys once a week. But anyway. Here's why you should lean towards, I should lean towards the gap theory. You have a choice. When Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God tells Adam to go out and replenish the earth. Does he not? Mm-hmm. You see that for yourself. I don't know what these other Bible versions say.
Fill.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay. In Genesis chapter 9, he tells Noah the exact same thing. people time and time again, you are a son of Adam. Are you not? Are you not also a son of who?
Jesus Christ.
Son of Noah. And the comparison between Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, between Adam and Noah. At one point, both are sole possessors of the earth.
Because God wiped out all the men but Adam. Adam and his, I meant all but Noah and
yes.
his family.
Yes, so that was just them. So they're sole possessions of the whole heaven, oh, not heaven, but the earth. You are a son of Adam, and you're also a descendant of one of three boys of Noah. Now, I know you and I don't know which one we're, I talk about people today that want to be Jewish, and you know you can become a Jew, right? But you cannot become a Hebrew. You have to be born a Hebrew, and I mean, if you talk to a true Hebrew, you ask them what tribe they're from, they can't really tell you. They can't really tell you. So I can't tell you what son I am from Noah. Both had a direct commission from God to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is what they told them to do. How many people were saved on the ark?
Eight.
Eight souls were saved. You know what eight represents in the Bible?
New beginning.
New beginning. So here are the eight souls. We're going to have a new beginning and take off. That's why on the eighth day, people were circumcised. New beginning. Eighth day, if you do that, I'm not trying to be ugly or something, they say you don't bleed as much.
Heard that.
Okay? But now they give you a shot, vitamin K, and keep you, so your blood will clot. I'm like, why don't you just wait 8 days? They don't want to hold you 8 days. They don't want to bring you back. They can make more money that way. But anyway, maybe that shop costs more money. I don't know. One of the boys is a type of Christ. Abel and Shem. One of the boys is a type of the Antichrist. Cain and Ham. One of the boys are involved in the curse from God. Cain and Ham. Both were naked and ashamed, and they were sin. Genesis 3, Genesis 9. Wasn't Noah there laying naked? Both were connected with the garden when they had sinned. Genesis chapter 3. You can go through comparisons over and over and over. But without saying both Adam as well as Noah followed the judgment on the earth, the earth was left in ruins. And they both commanded to replace the race of God. Did not want him. Did not want control in the earth. So when you think about Exodus chapter 20, you got to be cautious about it. And don't get up in all shape when people don't agree with you about whether you're a gap factor or a non-gap factor. Okay? I don't get all bent out of shape when people says a flat earth or a round earth. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation in my book. Don't get out of bent out of shape, and I know some of us have, when you share about the Word of God rightly divided. Why can't you? You just don't want to shake them. Why can't you just understand this? You know, that type of thing. And don't get all bent out of shape, because, hey, you was once there. You fought this message for a while until you started believing the words on the page. That makes a difference in your life. And I feel for some of us here and some of us that are listening that our family don't want nothing to do with you. But when you bring up the Word of God, they're going to sit there and tell you more about the Word of God than you, and you're studying things out. And you're like, have you saw this verse? Where did you find that verse at? I've never seen that verse before. Wasn't been there. Unless you're blind. So my prayer for you guys, that you'll continue to study and you work these things out and you start looking at some things saying, this is true. Whether I like it or not, you know, we always talk about your word, God's word, and Ed's word, you know, that type of thing. And mine and your words might not match up, but it matches up. You have to line it up with the Word of God. And what's the main theme of your Bible? The main theme of this Bible from cover to cover, what is it all about?
Authority.
Authority.
Authority over what?
The universe.
A throne over the entire universe. What God did on earth, what God in the, that's what this book is about. It's about authority.
It's about God's word too.
Yes, it is God's word. But the thing is about what God's authority is in this word, it's not in circumstances. It's not in emotions. And we talk about that all the time. And God, if we can get that in check and get that inside of us and understand, things gonna happen. But this power, this book, the word of God is power. And what was that one thing? The Bible says sharper than a two-edged sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing I need to look at. I saved it and talk about a three-edged sword. You know, like your word, God's word, and Satan's word is like a three-edged sword. But anyway, you have to have the word of God in order to share. And the things we see in this world, in the religious circles, you need to understand and discern, like, is this what God's doing? And we would love nothing more, the whole world, your community, your family, to study the Word of God right about. We wouldn't love nothing more for that to happen. But sometimes it ain't going to happen, guys. And the longer God tarries, the longer grace, extends His grace another day, this way, a lot of people say, well, God didn't come. I've got another day to do this, I've got another day to that. We got to talk to people. And my encouragement is to do that for you. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the day of grace. We thank you for the studies that you have given us. Through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Until next week.
Next week.